Well, thank you very much. And I love how you're excited to hear God's word, to be part of God's family, and to participate in this wonderful fellowship. You guys make this special. Of course, God's right in the middle. Sky is blue. But you guys bring a lot of wonderful beauty to the table. I'd like four of you to read some scripture before I teach. Julie, all right, go ahead and turn to it. I'll call on you when to read. But Julie, can you read Proverbs 3, verses 7 through 10? Joe.
I'm here. I got my Bible. I can do it.
Okay, we'll settle down now. So Proverbs 3. I thought that was Joy for a minute. Proverbs 3, 13 through 17.
Okay.
Jaylene. Proverbs 3, 21 through 26. And Gary, you're going to bring up the rear. Isaiah 61, 10. So, Julie, Proverbs 3, 7 through 10. Joe, Proverbs 3, 13 through 17. Jaylene, Proverbs 3, 21 through 26. And Gary, Isaiah 61, verse 10. And I'm going to start this with Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 6. And we're expressing from the scriptures God's loving care. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Julie, Proverbs 3, 7 through 10. Go ahead.
Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
Wonderful. Thank you. Joe, Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 17.
All right, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and a man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire, they are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
Thank you. Jaylene, Proverbs 3, 21 through 26.
Verse 21, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be with life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken.
Thank you. Gary, Isaiah 61, verse 10.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth with her jewels.
Thank you. Thank you one and all for reading the word to me today. It's such a blessing. I want to share about God directing our walks. And it's going to include many things. I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 10. And I want to make a statement that I really, really hope that you're listening to and embed within your heart. If we are not living the more than abundant life, we are not allowing God to direct our steps. If you really want to live the more than abundant life, God has to be directing your steps. Another thing I want to share is that agape is the super highway into eternity. We think we know so much about agape because we've read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But that barely scratches the surface. Agape is the super highway into eternity. It's the road upon which we walk. And we will be on that road when Jesus Christ returns. And we will follow that road all the way to heaven. And the last statement I want to make before I read out of Jeremiah chapter 10 is that man does not have the ability to direct his steps. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And this is foundational and it's paramount in our quest to understand that God directs our walks. He directs our steps. And that's the only director we ever want to have. We certainly don't want to be our own. Nothing good comes out of that. I want to share a section of scripture out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. There's three verses that I'm going to focus on. And when I finish, I want you to have a grasp of these verses and what they're teaching us. Why am I doing this? Because I am preparing you for the return. It's time now that we are prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. And it's time now for each one of you to get your houses in order. That time is upon us. And that means that there's things that you need to do, that you need to become utterly committed to doing, so that your house is in order for when that trumpet sounds and Jesus Christ breaks through those clouds. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're going to focus on verses 11 through 13. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. That's agape. And toward all, even as we toward you. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Verse 11 says, now, and that's actually the word but God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, the word Christ is not in any text, any critical Greek text. Direct our way unto you. So, more or less, before we work it, as it stands, verse 11 says, but God himself, you can scratch and, but God himself, our Father, and our Lord Jesus, direct our way unto you. The word direct is katethuno, and it means to straighten fully, a guide. I like the word guide. This word shows up one more time. We'll go there later. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. So, this is a pretty straightforward verse. And a literal of it is, but may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus guide our way unto you. Isn't that beautiful? When you finally see what the Greek's saying? To make a straight way unto the believers. Verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, agape, one toward another, and toward all, even as we or do. I'm just skipping over those italics. Sometimes they're okay. The word increase is pleonazo. It means to do, make, or be more. It can mean to superabound, to exceed, abound, and make to increase. It's a very active word. It's like the process of doing that. Whereas the next word, abound, it's having reached that because of the process. So, and the Lord make you to superabound as you're doing these things. And then abound is peristousai. And it also means to superabound, to be in excess, to be superfluous, enough, and to spare, to have to spare. So, and the Lord make you to, in this process, superabound, and then you reach that point where you have a superabundance, and then in love, in agape. So who's the one that makes you to superabound in that as you're going through the process of walking agape? The Lord, it says. And it focuses on agape. So agape means all that agape represents. God will assist you in your agape walk. He will help you exceed and superabound in agape so that you can live that lifestyle among fellow believers as well as among all others. The standard being leadership superabounding agape walk. Pretty amazing. As the last few words in that verse are, even as we toward you. So a literal of that, but may the Lord make you to exceed and to superabound in agape toward one another and toward all. Even as also we superabound in this toward you. If you don't love agape now, by now, this should actually change you. because you are on the winning side. And this is the behavior that we're supposed to manifest all day long, all night long. But may the Lord make you to exceed and to superabound in agape toward one another and toward all, even as also we superabound in this toward you. Verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. See, this is the end of the matter. It's a complete little section there. 11, 12, and 13. This is the end of the matter. Why this agape is supposed to, or we're supposed to exceed and superabound in agape toward everybody. The end of the matter is to become established. You can't become established if you don't walk according to agape. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Literally, agape is your heart's guardian. It's the end of the matter. Agape brings you to the end of the matter. You becoming established in your hearts, unblameable in holiness before God, is the end of the matter. But there's more. Even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus, the word Christ again here is not in the text. At the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. That's how God sees Jesus Christ at the return. He's calling him the Lord Jesus, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And your salvation is manifest because you have confessed the Lord Jesus with your mouth, and now you believe in your heart that he shall return for you. So, the agape walk is what brings you to the place that your heart is blamelessly established in holiness before God our Father. It's the agape walk that does this. There is no other way. You cannot become blamelessly holy any other way. You can't do it by what you eat, by the jobs you pick, by the friends you have, by the kids you have, by the marriages you have, by the trips you take, by the church you go to. You cannot do it. You cannot become blamelessly holy before God. I'm talking about the walk. I'm not talking about the gift of Holy Spirit. That's perfect. I think we're all on the same page with that. One of my favorite phrases when I speak rhetorical things is that the sky is blue. We don't have to keep saying that, okay? The agape walk is what brings you to the place. The agape walk is what brings you to the place. It's the agape walk that brings you to the place that your heart is blamelessly established in holiness before God our Father. Your heart cannot become blamelessly established in holiness by any other means. Established is the word sterizai, and it means to set fast, to turn resolutely in a certain direction, to steadfastly set. So it's like, have you ever glued something and it finally sets and then you can trust that it's going to hold? the steadfast, the steadfastly set. Heart is the word cardia. And that means the seat of your personal life. It's from where your personality, your person stems. Unblameable is amomos, and it means unblemished, without blame. Blemish, fault, or spot comes from there. When you put an A in front of a Greek word, it turns it into a negative, like unblemished, unfaulted, unspotted, unblameable. Okay? And so now I want you to imagine a pure heart. Imagine a heart with spots on it, black spots. And now imagine that heart just spotless, perfectly red, full, unblemished, just pure. This is where we must go in our preparation for the return of Jesus Christ. It is possible for us to remove every blemish from the seat of our personal life. And that's what our quest must become. I beseech you to do this. I want you to prepare yourself for the return of Jesus Christ. And I want you to remove all blemishes. And the only way you can do that is through the agape walk. There's no other way. You can't do it any other way. But if you walk according to agape, these blemishes will fade and disappear, and you will become renewed in every sense of the word, and you will be prepared. You don't have to do this. You could show up at the return blemished. That's fine. You're still going to go to heaven. But there's a special group of people that God expects to do this. The ones reading these scriptures right now. Because you can't turn away from the truth. Holiness means hagiosune, or it's the Greek word hagiosune, and it means the quality of sacredness. It's a quality. You become sacred in your heart. And of course in your walk. Before is the word improsthen. When I was studying this word, I thought it was going to had to do with 2 Corinthians chapter 8, improthen, which means that you abundantly shared before the saints, and it means in front of their eyes. It's akin to that. Abundant sharing is very public. And when you abundantly share, it's okay to let people know you did. You don't brag about it, because that would break agape. But it's okay that people know that you abundantly share. It's not some big secret thing. It's a public thing. Well, this word before is akin to that in terms of, in, it means in front of, in the presence of. It's really something. And that would be before God. Coming is the Greek word parousia, and it means personal presence. That's when he comes back. And there's two parts to the return. One is when he comes to gather us together, and two is when he comes with us after the tribulation. This word with is meta, and it means among, amid, in company with. It depends on if it's genitive or dative or accusative. And so this the way I use it is accompanied with. And the literal then for this verse is for to be steadfastly set. No, sorry, I put B in there, forget that. For to steadfastly set your hearts without blemish in the quality of sacredness in front of God, our God and Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus in company with all his saints. I do not believe this is talking about the gathering together. This is talking about the second part after that. For to steadfastly set your hearts without blemish in the quality of sacredness in front of our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus in company with all his saints. You see how agape stretches all the way into eternity? We are learning that God uses agape as a superhighway into your hearts to deliver certain benefits, among which are attaining unto the bearing up under of Christ, and I'll show you that in a minute, active enablement of agape's superabundance. In other words, it turns the switch on for agape's superabundance. Becoming superabundant in all qualities of agape. So the first one is the exceeding as you act to walk according to agape. And the second superabundance is having those qualities manifested. They're there now. We see them. More and more, another one is more and more the ingredients to manifest agape within and without the church. And we're supposed to endeavor to manifest agape to everybody. Our hearts being steadfastly set without blemish in the quality of sacredness in front of God our Father. We're going to stand before him one day and show off. Look, we did it. We did it because we learned about agape and its importance as the way we're supposed to behave as your children. That's how he behaves. That's how Jesus behaves. Our hearts being steadfastly set without blemish in a quality of sacredness in front of God our Father. The agape lifestyle removes all heart blemishes. If you have anything in the seat of your personal life that troubles you that you consider a blemish, that you wish wasn't there, the agape lifestyle will remove it. Because you can get to the place where you're faultless, blameless in holiness, in sacredness. You can. This is about the walk. This is not about the gift of Holy Spirit, which is basically a piece of God, and it's already perfect. And the last attribute that God delivers via the agape superhighway into your hearts is we'll have holy lifestyles when we return with Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ returns, we're preparing for the return, both parts. And I'd like to read a literal of verses 11 through 13 all together. But may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus guide our way unto you. But may the Lord make you to exceed and to superabound in agape toward one another and toward all, even as also we toward you. For to steadfastness set your hearts without blemish in the quality of sacredness in front of our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus in company with all his saints. There's another section in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, that enlighten us even more on God directing our hearts. Because God does direct our lives, he directs our hearts, and we don't want to be our own directors, trust me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have recourse and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the agape of God, God's agape, and into the patient waiting for Christ. So once again, agape is the super highway into your hearts. This is how God delivers great and wonderful things to you, especially being prepared for the return of his son. Verse 1 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. The phrase, finally, brethren, pray for us, is better translated for the rest. Pray, brethren, for us. The word pray comes from prosukete, and it means earnest prayer. We've seen this in the class now quite a few times. The phrase, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, is better translated, that the word of the Lord may run and be glorified. Those translators added a whole bunch of hodgepodge, but it's more clear if you read it just from the Greek, that the word of the Lord may run and be glorified. The word course is treko. T-R-E-C-H-O, it means to run or walk hastily. And I'd like to give you a literal for that. Verse 1, for the rest, earnestly pray, brethren, for us, that the word of the Lord may run and may be glorified, even as also with you. It's beautiful. I'll read it one more time. For the rest, earnestly pray, brethren, for us, that the word of the Lord may run and may be glorified, even as also with you. Verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all have not faith. Boy, what a promise. The word delivered is ruomai. It's through the idea of a current to rush or draw or to rescue. Unreasonable is atopos. There's that little A in front of the word, so we know it's got that little negative part, un. It means out of place, improper, injurious, or wicked. The word wicked is poneros. And that is packed full of all kinds of craziness. It's evil or ill, diseased morally, derelict, or vicious. The word men is anthropos. And what that means, it's man face, like there's a face of a man on it, a human being. And faith is the word pistis, and it's activated faith from God. And the literal is, and that we may be rescued from injurious and viciously diseased humans. For active faith is not the portion of all. Boy, that's a rude awakening. You can't just think everybody's part of God's family, because they're not. Verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. What great promises. The word Lord is the word theos, and it means God. It shouldn't be Lord there, it should be God. Faithful is pistos, and it means trustworthy, sure, true. Establish is sterizo. We already saw this. To set fast, to turn resolutely in a certain direction. Or to steadfastly set. I like that one. Keep is phulasso, and it's through the idea of isolation. To watch, be on guard, to preserve. You're just going to be taken away from it, in a sense. Isolated. And evil is that old word, poneros, because we've already seen it. Evil, ill, diseased, morally derelict, vicious. So, verse 3's literal is, but trustworthy is God, who will steadfastly set you and will preserve you from the injurious and viciously diseased. Verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you. The word you is not in the text. That ye both is not in the text. Do. And will do the things which we command you. This is a fantastic verse. I really am kind of amazed with it. The word confidence is peitho. It means to convince by argument, to pacify or conciliate, to trust, to make a friend. And we have confidence. You see, this is where the teeth are. This is where you find the teeth in preparing for the return. And it's okay to go by the commandments in the Bible. And these are commandments. You're supposed to do them, which we command you. The word Lord is the word Kyrio. And it's talking about the Lord Jesus. The word command is paragaleo. It means to transmit a message, to enjoin, to give in charge, to declare. And it's a clear message. Do and will do is poio, poio. It means to abide, agree, to make or do, to continue. And the literal is, but we trust in the Lord Jesus as to you, that the things which we charged you, you are doing and will do. So it's okay to be charged with things. Like, I want you to prepare for the return. I charge you with that. That's okay. That's coming right down the pipe. Verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. We just read then that God guides our hearts, because the word direct is guide as well, make a straight path. Remember that? Patience, and you could say in waiting, is hupomonen, and it means a bearing up under, endurance. And this is the one I said I would get to, one of the attributes that agape brings to you. God guides our hearts into God's agape. When agape and theos, as in this verse, are used together, they almost always are in reference to our salvation. I've taught that many times. Our salvation is noted by the phrase, into the patient waiting for Christ. Christ undergirds us. He holds us up and will do so all of the way to eternity. Just fantastic. The word love is agape. And so the literal is, but may the Lord guide your hearts into God's agape and into the bearing up under of the Christ. We've learned the importance of earnest prayer. That will cause the word to run before us and be glorified. God's guidance in our lives rescues us from evil and viciously diseased men. All do not have a portion of active faith. Our trust is to be in God and His Son. They're a team. We're in this together. We've been charged to do and continue doing the will of God. Through all of this, God will guide our hearts into His agape and salvation through and into the bearing up under of the Christ. What a significant section. And I'd like to read the literal of verses 1 through 5 together to close this. For the rest, earnestly pray, brethren, for us, that the word of the Lord may run and be glorified, even as also with you, and that we may be rescued from injurious and viciously diseased humans. For active faith is not the portion of all, but trustworthy is God, who will steadfastly set you and will preserve you from the injurious and viciously diseased. But we trust in the Lord Jesus as to you, that the things which we charged you, you are doing and will do. But may the Lord guide your hearts into God's agape and into the bearing up under of the Christ. So we see the importance of walking according to agape. I'm finished with my teaching, by the way. But we've seen the importance of putting on agape, of allowing God into our hearts through the agape walk, and of preparing for the return, of walking according to agape to the point that we're absolutely blameless, blemishless, and we have the quality of sanctification in the very depths of our personality, of our, the seat of our personal life. And that's how God wants us to be when Jesus Christ comes back with us, the first section we read, and when he comes back for us, the second section. We will be prepared. He wants us to be blemishless. That's what he said. That's what Paul was teaching. That's what so many of them endeavored to become. And we can become that. We're a body of believers. Collectively, we can become that. We put on the agape characteristics. We cleave to God, which is a teaching I want to do eventually here. I'm ready, but I'm not going to do it today. But we want to cleave to God. And we want him to be on the pedestal that we keep trying to climb up onto. We don't want to be on a pedestal. We always want to be underneath that pedestal. Always. We want God to be on the pedestal. He is number one. And we cleave to his every way, his every promise, his every blessing, his every command. And that's just who we are. That's just how we are. And you never let anything deter you from that. If there are things in your agape walk, well, in your Christian walk that are not agape, you must stop them now. If you yell at people, you must stop that. If you hurt people, you must stop that. If you have behaviors that are, well, let's just say censored, then you must stop that. If you have any ways of life that contradict the agape characteristics, you must stop them. You simply must change. This is how you become prepared for the parousia and for the gathering together. And God commands you to be this way. Now he commands people. He's done it for years. And people have refused him. They've walked away from him. You know that. Israel. Most of the churches today, they refuse spirituality. They teach devilish doctrine for God's commandments. They keep people in the Old Testament, never bringing them in the New. They refuse to. They're blinded. So people have walked away from God for generations, ages. But let us not be any of those people. Let us never walk away from God. Let us walk toward him. Let us cleave unto him like the dust cleaves to your shoe when you walk on the byways of this world. Let us cleave unto God. Let us strive to manifest the proper code of conduct, the proper way of being, which is fully described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's pretty easy to understand even as it is, except for the word kind. The word kind doesn't mean kind at all. It means beneficial. But the others they're pretty understandable. And there's plenty of tools for you to access if you don't understand them. But I want you to walk according to agape, and I want you to be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. Not that that's going to be a test, so to speak, but after that, you're going to stand before God. When you get to heaven, you're going to stand before God. And I want you to stand before God with a pure heart. I want it to have the quality of holiness, of sanctification, of sacredness. That's how I want you to be. And I don't want you coming up with excuses why you can't do it now. If you treat your spouse poorly, stop doing that. That's a command. I command that. And the reason I command that is because agape commands that. Stop hurting people. Stop helping yourself to things that don't belong to you. In a spiritual sense, that has all to do with walking according to the greatness of the Ephesians revelation, of the Romans doctrine, and of the Thessalonians promises. Help yourself to those things, but never place yourself on a pedestal where you try to direct your own steps, because you can't. Let God direct everything for you, and then you'll be able to truly say, I am living the more than abundant life. Well, thank you very much. I love you guys.